Okay, our speaker today, Tina, will now share on her experience for 15 minutes on steps 6 and 7. Your share will be recorded since you said that was okay, Tina. Yeah?
You bet. Can you hear me? You hear me okay?
Yep, perfect. All right, I'll hand it over to you.
Great, thank you. Let me put my timer on. Oh, welcome. Nice to see everyone. Some of you I know personally, so this is really nice. My name is Tina. I am a recovered alcoholic and sugar addict. And I came into 12-step recovery as just a month shy of my 21st birthday. I didn't realize how scared I was at the time, but I couldn't stop drinking and bumbled around in AA for a long time. Got connected to God, had some successes, had some failures. But at 29 years of sobriety, the level of commitment and the level of sobriety that I had been running on had run dry for a long time. And I happened to fall into BBA. So for kind of some funny circumstances, but really had a new experience with the book. At the same time, I saw, and I knew for a long time that I was powerless over sugar, but couldn't quit, but it also wasn't killing me fast enough. With alcohol, I could see it was killing me and I could see my death. And I think what I saw at that time was that it was leading to my spiritual death. And that I couldn't get connected to God. And if I can't get connected to God, I can't stay sober. And so really by a miracle of the 12 steps, I was relieved of that obsession, which I wish that I had a better explanation for what happened, but really God just removed it. And I have been abstinent from sugar for about 2.5 years. Actually, no, close to three. It'll be, it might even be three. It was towards the end of April. I don't know the date. But, and then it took me a little while to figure out, if I had a food addiction or not. And I do not qualify for a food addiction. I am a hard food user. but it took me a little while to discern that. And I'm glad that I did. It made that portion of the big book where it talks about the moderate, the hard, and the alcoholic, more personalized for me. So that was, it had a new experience there. Sometimes I don't know what I'm going to talk about. And actually, we're going to start actually into action. There's actually a typo in your script. It says a manner of life in your script for the how it works, but it's a manner of living. And so we're going to start there, that I need a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. And that typo might be there for a reason, I don't know, but that's kind of what came to me in meditation, is that I need a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. And I think in early sobriety, a lot of us come in doing a lot of things that we know are not the way that God wants us to live. We don't want to live that way. And alcohol forces us into positions that we would normally not be in. And so, and some of those are pretty dishonest. And so I think the first years in sobriety, it can be a lot of just trying to live just an outwardly honest life. Like, I show up to work on time. I pay my bills. I don't steal. Those are the types of things that I think in AA that we kind of work on in early sobriety. And that's great. And that is certainly the place that we need to start, but then we need to start looking at that internal honesty. And also internally honest of who I am. And recently, I've been having some depression. And I think that for many years, I used the adrenaline piece of my addiction to kind of not feel that. And I don't necessarily know if it's qualified as, a medical condition, or I just need to write some more inventory. But what I'm being guided to do right now is to just sit with it. and talk about it. And so that's kind of where, that was my internal honesty, is that one is I need to ask, God, what do you want me to do with this? Because God always lays down what we need. It's just, we're not necessarily able to listen, you know, and that's where I have to be honest. Sometimes God asks me to do things that are not in alignment with what everybody else in the world might do or are rational. You know, it talks about that in the book, that reason only gets us so far. And my rational mind is like, well, let me get busy. You know, let me go help others. Let me go, you know, clean out a closet. Cleaning out a closet always makes me feel better. You know, like, oh, this is great. But, I'm not being guided to do that. And that's what I need to be on, where my level of honesty needs to be right now. And maybe there's other levels of honesty that I haven't explored yet. I think one of the things that I'm seeing too is that in some of my meditation practices is that there are parts of me that I have kind of shut down. Certainly the kind of internal teenager or internal addict, she's dangerous. So I shut her down. And so now I'm being guided to let her out. And, that's scary. You know, I think part of that is learning how to play. I don't necessarily know if I know how to play very well. I take something that can be playful and I make it, I put a bunch of structure around it. I'm a big skier and mountain biker. You know, I'll look at like, well, how many runs did I take? How many feet did I climb? You know, how many minutes did I do the thing? And so it becomes work. And that sometimes I just need to be able to do the thing for the pleasure of doing it and allowing myself to do that and allowing myself to explore, allowing myself to make mistakes. Those are huge challenges for people that are in 12-step recovery. Like that's enough for a lifetime, right? Just that. And I don't know, like anybody I know, you know, no matter how long that they have in recovery, you know, those things will continue to pop up, you know? So that leads me to step 6 and 7, which I think this is, you know, when we come out of our BBA inventory, which is much more thorough than any inventory that I have seen. I mean, maybe there's others out there, but that's the one that I've been had the most experience in. Is that I have faced these things, these areas in my life where I've been dishonest, mostly with myself. That my consciousness will skew reality to make it more palatable for me. I don't always like to live in reality. I don't always like what happens around me. Sometimes people, you know, are living ways that are hurting themselves. You know, this is, I think, where the Al-Anon piece comes in. You know, it's hard to watch other people go through pain. I see this in sponsorship too. You know, at least in sponsorship, I know that there's some hope. But for the alcoholics in my life, watching God's will work through their life can be really painful, and I have to be able to sit with that pain. And that's where I need God, right? So in my meditation last night, there were some memories that were coming up. And for me, you know, these were some, you know, they weren't huge disturbing memories, but they were mildly disturbing memories. And I think this is one place where the application of step 6 and 7 can really go a long way. And they have for me, is that in that moment, I can then ask God, like, God, I have this memory. I'm willing that you should have it. Like, you know, there's no inventory necessarily that needs to be taken about it. Like, you know, there was nothing, you know, wrong that had happened, but that I just need to ask God that I'm willing for you to take this memory from me of something that happened a long time ago that, you know, perhaps there was shame around. And actually too, that, you know, God, I'm willing that you should have this shame, because I think that's really where we, where we separate ourselves from God is through shame. And that in God's relationship with me, there is nothing I need to be shameful about. You know, and I think that we see that in our fourth and fifth steps, you know, the way that we hear our fifth steps, or you know, how our sponsor works with us, that do I see that I couldn't have done anything better? And I have always done the best that I could with what I had. I didn't necessarily have everything I needed, and I didn't know how to ask God for what I needed, but I've always done the best that I could. And that's a 100%. And then, after, kind of giving this memory, asking for, and I think in some languages or some ways, you can talk about this integration, that I need to integrate this with God. And that part of saying the seventh step prayer regularly, I don't think that it is not a one and done thing for me. I think that seventh step prayer or some version of it that is the same keeps me in connection with God, because I will always devolve into, that life can be a negative thing. And that when I am consistently, kind of asking my creator, take, all of me, good and bad, that's where I can find rest in God, is because I'm regularly asking that please take the good and the bad, please be with me in this moment. And that when I am able to do that, I am able to show up to my life honestly. I am able to show up to God honestly, and sometimes that means that I have to walk through things that are painful. Sometimes that means that I have to be really joyous. Like I'm really uncomfortable with the two ends of the spectrum, big pain, big happy. Big happy is a really scary place for me too. And, I like to be in the middle. And the thing is that in the human experience, that's only part of what I get to experience as being a human living in this life. There's all of these emotions. And I'm like, well, I'm just comfortable with these. So let's just manage my life so that I can just live in these emotions. And God is asking me to expand that. And who knows, I think our brains are somewhat limited. And, I think that there's more available in the spiritual realm that we can even imagine. And, when I start living on that plane, I think this is a certain level of humility, that I've only been given this amount and that there's all of this other stuff that's available if I just ask. And the one thing that I hear people when they share their fourth steps with me, and this happens more, I think, when it's a one-off fourth step, I got this one sheet, please, hey, Tina, can you listen to this? Yeah, absolutely. People will often forget to take their inventory to step 6 and 7. And if I don't make the ask of God, nothing ever changes. God will only make a change in my heart and in my life if I say, God, hey, can you help me out here? Or God, can you please take this character defect? Because if I don't ask, if I don't take the spiritual action, it's just an intellectual exercise. And that's not, recovery is not an intellectual exercise. It's an experiential exercise. And I think that's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Tina. I appreciate that. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording.